Hello, everyone. This is Jacqueline Jacks on AVA Live Radio. You're going to be hearing from a Behind the Music episode with John Lewis. He is here with me, and we are strapping through our technical difficulties and COVID-19 social distancing by doing a phone interview. Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, Jacqueline. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So tell me about this, because like I know I've seen you with your acting side. I've seen you do like world-class fighting. Now there's music. So how does this all play together? Like, what made you decide to get in music? Or why don't you just like backtrack a little bit and tell us a little bit about your acting career and, you know, and the world of fighting, because you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, this could be a long episode alone if I just to explain it all. So I'll give you the broad strokes.
Yeah, broad strokes are good.
But basically, you know, I started off a lot younger as a dancer, and then I ended up moving to Vegas, and I got into doing that over there, and I started doing music at an earlier age, and I came back to Los Angeles from Las Vegas, and I was working with some really great producers, and Tommy Vaccari, and some really great Grammy Award-winning producers and engineers, and I did a record, and I ended up getting signed to Elektra Records with a group, Pop School Love, my partner group. So we were signed for a while, but at the same time, I was also fighting professionally.
I see.
And I won a title after the album was released for a while. I won a title fighting. I was the first person to beat Carlson Gracie Jr. in a show called Extreme Fighting. This is like the UFC mixed martial arts, that stuff. At this time, the UFC had just kind of been taken off of TV and banned, but this other show, which is another pay-per-view event, Extreme Fighting, was still out there. So I fought on that show for the title, and I fought Carlson Gracie. And what that did for me, really quickly, it jettisoned me into mainstream media. And I was in a situation where I was in a fork where I could either continue on that path with the fighting, which I was doing very well with, had a lot of fights under my belt, undefeated, or I could continue in the music path, which I've always loved. And as we all know, it's a struggle. Just getting a record deal, people thought in the old days getting a record deal meant something, which all it really means is now you still have to struggle to get the record label behind you and behind you and push your record and everything else that goes along with it. So I was still in a scenario where I was able to record a great album and work on others and work with great people. But on the other side of the table, I was a world champion. And that, I ended up going that direction because it was almost like I couldn't stop it. The media storm was so big behind that side of it. And I realized that I had to give my attention to something to really be great at it, as opposed to a little bit to both things. So there's a lot more to the story than that, and a lot more other things I've done and are doing, but that's kind of how I ended up going from music to fighting. And then through all my career, doing that and nightclubs and other things that I was involved with, and of course my fighting career and owning shows of my own and things of that nature, I always had my passion for music, and I never left. And I always wrote here and there, but it was just more like something for me. And in the end, I came back to a place where I was able to do that again. I had the time to do it, and I was able to do a record. And during this time that we're all in right now, and I had a lot to say just with everything going on right now, it was the right time to start writing again, because I was writing things that meant something to me, as opposed to just writing cool songs like I did when I was a young guy. So that's where we are today. So I went back to that. I didn't quit other things that I'm working on, but I really enjoyed that I had time to actually put a full record together during COVID.
My goodness, right? I think a lot of people that wanted to do music or were considering it, or even that were doing it but didn't have time, they found a clear road during this last 6 months, and it's been interesting.
A lot of time to think.
Yeah, it really does. It I don't know, it kind of pushes us to make choices too. I mean, with so much going on and so many opportunities, you know, you're one of the lucky people that, and I grew up in Vegas, by the way, so I completely know how it works there.
I've been there a long time.
Right? You're one of the lucky people that you know how to get yourself into opportunities, and you know that clear talent is going to shine through, and you can launch another opportunity off of a previous opportunity, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So when you do, when you won the Ultimate Fighting Championship, were there opportunities for music that you could have, you just ended up talking to the right people through it? Did you find that that helped?
Well, you know, I cut out about a long span of time between that and this. And what basically happened for me is my next opportunity in the mixed martial art world was I decided that I wanted to become a show owner as opposed to a fighter for the show. There's not a lot of money at that time in the sport as a fighter, although I was a world champion fighting on the top level. Right. The money wasn't a lot. And so it was more about the love of the sport and the love of really wanting to test yourself and find out what you're capable of against other equally talented martial artists, as opposed to, you know, in my backyard like I was doing before that.
That is so funny.
But what happened along the way is I wanted to make money, and I wanted to make a bigger business out of it, and I realized that the guys that were making the money were the guys that were paying me.
Yeah.
Paying me a little bit of money. So I started my own show. It was called the WFA, the World Fighting Alliance, and my slogan was where the fight club meets the nightclub. And because I had been in the nightclub industry, owning clubs and things in Vegas at that time. And what I figured out was, at that time especially, the early UFC, not with the new companies that are involved now, which is a whole other great story, they had fights, mixed martial art fights and stuff, but it was boring. It was very dry. And then I noticed things like the WWE or WWF, where they were all entertainment, but the fighting wasn't real. And I said it was a way to merge these two things, but then not make it corny, give it the sexiness of a nightclub, of what we have when we go out to have fun in Las Vegas and things like that. I mean, go-go dancers and great music and DJs and artists performing before the show and things like that. It would become more of an entertainment spectacle and not just a fight. And then at the same time, keep the fights as legitimate as the UFC. So I put this show together, and it was very, very successful right away. You know, after 4 events, actually, the UFC actually bought me out. That's how successful it was. They bought all of our contracts, and they bought just the whole concept. You know, and they tied that into today, and the UFC to UC today is a lot more entertaining. And that's a lot of those aspects came from my purchase of them purchasing my show. If you look at the video games today, one of the options in there are WFA is one of the settings you could use in the video game. So that's even another small part of that whole puzzle. And then back to the original question, how did I make a transition, or what did it open for me as far as availabilities go? From there, when I sold that show, I was like, now what do I do? You know, I mean, I kind of passed the fighting thing. I still love fighting. I still taught martial arts, and I still do today. But I realized that I just kind of moved to a business level, and I wanted to, and I was very good at it. So I wanted to continue in that realm. You know, so I ended up getting into the nightclub industry, which is another great story of its own. But that ended up pairing me for about 18 years in Las Vegas to becoming the top marketing guy and an events company and booking all the celebrity talent that you see there. And we started all of that stuff with Pure, and those were the clubs that I ran, all the biggest clubs in Vegas. And then at that point, from doing that, I met so many artists and managers and agents that we deal in California from the big agencies, that I made a lot of friends. So I got an opportunity to act, which you kind of know about that, and that from one of the agents that I work with a lot, and who is still my agent today, and that ended up giving me that opportunity. So then I ended up coming to Los Angeles again, and I've been pursuing this whole thing. We'll probably get into that when you're ready. And then finally, you know, through all of that time happening, movies, business shut down, everything shut down with COVID, and right. I was still writing and doing things at the house. I said, well, instead of just writing for myself at the house, you know, I started writing tracks, and I'm like, man, these tracks, they feel cool. You know, not only sound good, but they all are about a common theme that I think everyone could relate to, which is what we're all going through every day with this. And I'm sure my conversations with myself are the same that everyone else is having. So I wanted to try to see if I can put that out. And I am now navigating these new waters, because in my day, the first time was getting a record deal with a label, and they'd handle all that, and I would just do my thing. Nowadays, it's, you know, you really can do a lot yourself if you learn and navigate these new waters in the digital era.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, I have a show wrapped around it, right? I totally understand what you're saying, too. You know, a lot of times, it's funny, It's funny. I think everybody at one time or another goes back and forth between being the talent and managing the talent, you know, and you start to realize that the creative is something that we all have a calling for, right? But it doesn't necessarily produce the biggest money. Like, you know, and the same thing that happened with you with the wrestling and the fighting was what happened with me when I was a Dolphins cheerleader. It was great and so prestigious and open doors, but it wasn't the highest paying job. So like, absolutely. Right. I mean, yeah. And when you're at that level, you get a lot of press and you do get a lot of opportunities. And perhaps that, like, for smart people, you kind of move it into something that lasts the rest of your life. So you've gone from athlete to business owner to actor to music talent now. Which one do you like the best of all of them?
Well, I like a combination of two things. I'm an actor and producer, film producer. Right now, all the time, I produce films, a lot of films per year. I'm in a lot of films per year. I have another one shooting next month. So I'm working that still. I don't find it that I have to make a choice in this realm, because this realm is all entertainment based. So whatever skills I learned from music to, you know, whatever else, kind of all fits into the world that I'm in now, producing, making movies, which incorporate all of those elements, and my acting. And I find that I need to have an artistic side to myself, whether it be the music, whether it be the acting, or the combination, because that's just my soul. You know, if I have soul, I'm an artist. And like I say, dancing to music to whatever it is, it's always been me on the stage in some way, in front of a spotlight, or even fighting. Think about fighting. I'm still the guy in the middle of the octagon with, you know, 20,000 people around me watching, and then pay-per-view. And it's not about me, but it is like that energy, that high that you get from that feeling. It is very contagious. At the same time, I love putting myself out there and seeing if I can do it, and especially the things that everyone else says can't be done. That's the first thing that I want to do, you know. So that goes with that. And then on top of all of that, having that business background, I'm able to manage myself in a way, not literally only manage myself, but understand the business inside and out, from contracts to whatever it is. And also, you know, my company in Vegas was a marketing company. I understand marketing. I understand everything when it comes to this. So I think there's a place for all of it. And I think in the future, in the world that we're living in now, the more you understand about business, the better you are if you're a brand yourself, so that you really know how to manage yourself and not be, you know, at the mercy of someone else that can take advantage of you.
Yeah, and you also know where to put your efforts, you know? Like, a lot of people, they create, but then they go right back to create and they never market, and then they wonder why they aren't anywhere for it, you know?
A lot of people out there that you'll never know about, because they just stay in their room being creative all day, and no one will ever know.
Yeah.
So you're right. Really important to have that balance. And if you don't have an incredible team around you, which is always the best case scenario, the very minimum, you should read and study and then learn the business that you're in, so you can at least navigate safely until you do get to that stage.
One parallel that I see between acting and music is the fact that you do need a team for both. But what do you find is easier if you had a choice between the two?
Music or acting, you mean?
Yeah.
I think, well, here's the thing. Music is easier in the way that you can write a record and put it out these days. You know what I mean? You can do it in a way that no one will know it exists.
Yeah, but you could make YouTube videos too, and that you could act.
Yeah, but YouTube acting is not, you know, movie acting. There's a big difference, you know?
Right.
It's a different kind of level of acting. I mean, if you think about the people that come to California and New York and the big cities to act, I mean, it's millions and millions of people come here to try to pursue the impossible dream, and a very, very selective, small few break in, besides doing an occasional bit piece here and there, and actually become, you know, a supporting character, or even better, a leading man. And that's very difficult to achieve. It's a struggle that takes a long time. You got to put, you know, 7-10 years in before it even matters. And usually most people give up before they get there, because it's a hard struggle along the way. So I think that the battle to becoming a huge, and I say huge, I mean successful actor that you would know by name, is a lot harder than the opposite. At the same time, I do think creatively, as a musician, you're able to satisfy yourself, because you're able to really write a song on, you know, or with people helping you, little people helping you, and then put that record out and have it heard, and, you know, put it on your social media, and then maybe you'll hit and maybe you won't hit, but you can finish the project. In acting, in music, you can't, in movies, you can't just put yourself in the movie. If they don't want you in the movie, you're not getting in the movie. At least in music, you can finish your project, put it out, and at the very minimum, say, I made an album.
I'm wondering if, okay, so if you have acting skills and you have musical talent, right? So if you have acting skills and you use those skills to create a YouTube video and that goes viral, is that not equal to having a part where you use the same acting skills in a film produced by someone else?
Well, I think when you're saying a YouTube video, that's not a feature. That's not a film by any means, or the same, even equivalent to the same thing. It's different. It's like a YouTube star, you know, which is more like a social media style star, like a Logan Paul kind of thing. That's not acting. That's a different skill set all of its own. It's a character, and it's a brand, and you're building something almost more like a reality show than it is an act, than it is a film. Yeah, I mean, I compare that more to a reality show because you're making your own reality show in those cases. And that, you can, by the way, some people make more money doing that than an actor ever will as an actor. So don't get me wrong. I'm not at all saying anything negative about that. My son's actually a YouTuber. I have a young son. He's a YouTuber, and I'm a big supporter of his. But if you can be discovered from something, maybe someone might see you and see your YouTube video and go, oh, I think I have something. But the YouTube video isn't an hour and a half feature film scripted with other talented actors, and you happen to be able to deliver lines back and forth and with truth and realism and not look like you're acting. It's a whole art form of its own. Like, learning to sing is an art form of its own. It's not like you don't eat. I see what you're trying to say, but a YouTube video is not a film or even television. It's not scripted. It's not any of that. Whereas a record, you literally can write the song like you want to put it on the radio yourself with no one's permission.
Right. Well, I happen to know a lot of, the reason why I'm asking is because I know a lot of YouTube filmmakers, and I don't know if you know this, there's a division of that, but we have a lot of music that actually gets vetted for YouTube filmmakers, and those films go on to like win awards and do all kinds of things. So to them, they consider it to be a side of acting that is just as professional as the, you know, the mainstream of what you guys typically think, that, you know, you're not an actor until you're in a featured film, right? But they don't look at it that way. And that's why I'm just pointing it out, because they're probably listening to see if they want to use your song in a featured YouTube film.
The truth of the matter is that acting is not, being in a big movie doesn't make you a good actor. Any more than putting a vocal with music background makes you a good singer. It's still a skill that you develop, and it's not an independent skill. It's a skill that's based on the person standing across from you delivering lines back, and you doing it so well that when you're watching that movie, you forget that you're watching a movie and you think you're watching someone in real life just being themselves. That's a high, high skill set, just like being an incredible recording artist is, to be able to perform and command an audience and have a strong voice or a strong skill set on as a guitar player. So those are very serious learned skills, as you know. By the way, YouTube world can go anywhere from doing your makeup on YouTube to being unboxing toys to making a vlog. So we're kind of putting into one little area.
Right. Yeah, there's so many different facets of it. Exactly.
Are you saying that the person doing a makeup video is the same as the actor in a movie? I mean, of course not. Yeah.
Well, no, that's more of like an influencer video.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. I don't want to like define YouTube to anybody, actually, just right, because we have so many people. But yeah, we're not talking about YouTube influencers, guys. We're actually talking about, you know, probably something a lot of people don't realize is that there are a lot of short films that are about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half. I've even seen them longer on YouTube or on some of the other like Vimeos and some of the other platforms now, and it is a thing, right? And they go on to do other things, like they sell them to Netflix, they sell them to all kinds of things. I personally, my view on artistic talent is an artist is an artist no matter what platform they're given. If you're a musician and you're singing against music, to me you're just as creative as an actor who's playing up against another person or playing up against a wall and making it work. So like, to me, it's all skill, and you guys are all fabulously talented. 100%. You know, 100%.
We're saying the thing about shorts, shorts aren't, they're not, they get put on YouTube, but they're not, they are making a short movie regardless of YouTube. They're making a movie the same way that a person makes a movie that I'm talking about, and they put it on YouTube. So that's different than a YouTube star who actually is making content in real time for YouTube, like you said, like a vlogger or something, for instance.
Yeah, that's different too. I know. There are so many different ones. You know, there's influencers. These are actually filmmakers. These are actually filmmakers, and they're not doing shorts. They're getting paid to produce movies that are exclusive to YouTube. Just like Spotify was going to have And it's not like Logan Paul or, you know, somebody that's just spoofing or doing videos that are on spoofs and stuff. That's different too. It's just such a big world. It's literally like a billion videos a day getting launched on that platform. It's huge.
Right, that's what I mean. When I say YouTube star, I'm talking about that. Someone making content. My Mike is a gamer, so he
right. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. No. I know what you're saying. Exactly. Right. I totally do. Yeah, I know.
We're probably saying the same thing, but it's just about terminology. Yeah.
So now that you've gone into the music business and we kind of understand what you think about acting versus music, where do you want your music to go? Like, how far do you want to take it? Is it something that you're trying out at this point? Do you have a long-term goal for it?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying it out. I don't really do anything that I just try out. In my mind, I'm always trying with a long-term goal for all of it. And like I say, I don't feel the need to pick or choose from one or the other. I mean, like Jared Leto, for instance, is a good example of that, right? 30 Seconds to Mars versus an incredible acting career. I think, I definitely have always been serious and passionate about music. It was my passion far before acting and making movies. I just got, I kind of went into that late in the game and learned about it and got very good at it. But my passion has been performing, singing in front of a crowd. That feels the best to me. So I 100% want to pursue this as far as I can take it, and I take it that seriously. And I'm a very determined kind of individual anyways, the more you learn about me. But I don't feel that I have to choose from one or the other in this realm, because I feel they both are very complementative of one another.
Yeah, I think they are. I think ultimately in today's world, it's not just about the music that a musician is producing. People don't really fall in love with the music as much as they fall in love with the person, you know?
I agree with that. It's really important.
Just yeah, it is. They want to know about, you know, the person behind it and what you meant, and, you know, and then they love the music. The music has to be good, catchy, you know, it has to fill a need, right? But ultimately the vulnerability is with the actual person. And that's where I'm always wondering, like, I'm always looking at musicians and their stance when they have opinions about things, or they have a presentation, so to speak, you know, even interviews, because I always look at it like, okay, well, what does this person stand for, and why is somebody who doesn't know them going to want to know them, and how do we make that happen? You know, what happens with John Lewis that people are going to be like, wow, that's really cool, I can connect with him on this issue because of why?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I think really drives passion in people today. It seems that works so, so well. And I've seen that happen out for mainstream artists. You know, like you see people rise from niches. And when they rise from niches, they rise very powerfully strong, but all based on something that they've inspired a crowd to get behind. And that just gets tied to music. Music's the talent and the story, you know?
I also think you said a key word, which ties into what you're saying, which is the word vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the same way you're talking about music or in acting, that is that's really what makes a great artist, period, I think, and what makes a great lyric, right? I
mean,
we always write cool lyrics and cool songs with cool things to say.
Right.
But when you hear a song and you hear someone saying something that you're like, man, that feels like me, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
They put themselves out there with a line they said when they wrote that lyric. They put themselves out there and expose who they are on the inside, whether it's, I'm sad because I lost my woman, to I'm
right.
poor, like, the blues, whatever it is. You know?
Yeah.
And you go, man, I feel that, you know. And I think that's just kind of what I love about acting as well. A really good actor is someone who can just, you can just see the truth in them when they talk, and they're not trying to put on some aura, you know, they're just being that's what I like about both of these things. But I think that's part of what made me say I wanted to write this record. When I was younger, I'd write music that would be great and would sound cool and stuff. My opinion. But this time it was different. This time it felt like every word, I mean, the little words between the words, were there for a reason, and they were trying to say something real and not trying to get anyone to agree with me. And if you didn't agree with me, I'm cool with it. And if you do, I'm cool with it. It wasn't about that. It was me. I'm just going to tell you exactly who I am, exactly what I'm thinking. And if you're feeling it, awesome. If not, no worries. You know what I mean? And I think that's what I want to hear when I hear an artist. I want to hear someone just tell me who you are and let me make my decision, you know?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. It's, we all do. It's hard not to put people in boxes as well. It's very difficult because you just are trained. You're brought up just wanting to put people in a category. And that maps out to be, it used to be a lot more difficult for creators because you couldn't be more than one thing. I remember when I was first getting started in the radio business, there was a very, very good radio promoter that used to place the DJs on all of the Florida radio stations, worked for Clear Channel, you know, the whole thing. He was a very good friend of mine. And he said, well, listen, you know, you're doing internet radio, which I know nothing about, but I can put you in corner markets on regular radio. The thing is you have to make a choice. He said, because I'm from a world where you can't do more than one thing. You can only do one thing. But 10 years forward, he now tells me, I'm so glad you didn't just choose that one thing. Because it wasn't popular back then when I get started. It was you just go the regular route. Nobody knew anything about internet, and nobody knew anything about not being a specific radio DJ, right? Just one way. And now we have podcasting. We have amazing podcasters in the world of radio and podcast. It is kind of all melted into one, you know?
Exactly. It's like we're saying about being able to put music out these days digitally on your own. It's like you're not the slave of this guy behind the desk telling you that your music is good or your music is bad or your music is not real when you know what they were. Now I'm like, I want to put it out. I hope, and there's going to be someone out there who feels me, and there's going to be some that don't feel me. Same thing
that
as
is
when
so
you're doing
true.
Podcasts. Like, you can do what you want to do, how you want to do it. By the way, hey, think about the greats in radio journalism, like Howard Stern. They did exactly that. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They fought the odds because everybody saw the same thing you said. You can't do that.
Right.
But that's why they are the greats today. You know what I mean? So I think you're nailing it because it's really the technology and the access to technology that we have today at our fingertips in our own home has allowed people to become more true to what they really want to be as opposed to what they have the mold they have to fit in to become accepted.
How do you feel about the 7 years of consistency theory? I don't know if you know about it, but it's kind of talked about and spoken about by major business owners in the universe, right? Like people who've been highly successful.
When they were acting, I said that, right? I said 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Do
you? Your audience is just saying, and I'll tell you my thoughts.
It's like, for the audience that doesn't know about it, it's basically, people that have been highly successful their whole lives, Oprah Winfrey, all of these people subscribe to this notion that it takes around 7 years for you to develop the skills, the talent, and really see the road clearly and actually achieve the bigger results. We kind of saw this happen on YouTube, actually, since we were talking about YouTube before. A lot of the people that started 7 years ago are now huge, Casey Neistat, right? A lot of these people, they started before we ever knew them, and maybe we caught up with them maybe in the last year or the last 2 years, thinking that they happened overnight. How do you transcribe that into music? Do you think music happens that way as well?
I think, it does. First of all, I believe in that 100%. I'm sure there's always, we always have these exceptions to the rule, right?
Magic could
happen. But for the most part, putting in the time is always going to be the bottom line of anything that's successful or worth anything in life. And the why there are greats and why there are goods is because the greats are willing to put in the time. And not blind time. Directed, strategic time, and are willing to stay in it for the long haul. Majority of people, just like running a race, hit a wall, and they don't go past that wall. The majority do. The minority push thing with music too. I think not only music, but you know, everything artistic. But just we'll talk about music because that's what we're doing. I think you just keep plugging away. You get better. You get better at writing. But sometimes it's not even about your skill or your level of writing. Sometimes it's about being in it long enough for someone else to hear you and go, man, that guy's pretty good.
That's true. And, yeah.
But I'll tell you something right now. I have some songs now 20 years ago that you'll think I wrote today, but I played it 20 years ago for people and they thought it was good. Today, I think it's great. I'm like, sometimes the time comes around, the right timing comes around for
that's a sound. That's so true. Yeah.
So it's just, I think you just got to stay in it. If you really believe in yourself and you're doing it for the right reason, which is because you love it. You know what I mean? And if I happen to get rich from it, awesome, but that's not why I'm doing it. You're doing it because you love it and you write till you die. You can write music till you die. You know what I mean? And if you're really, really good at it and the stars align one day, someone's going to hear you or the audience is going to find a track and it's going to go viral or something's going to happen these days and you can get there. But you can only do that if you're willing to put the time in. Of course, every now and then someone gets lucky right away and that song is heard, like a viral video is seen and you blow up. But for the most part, I do believe it's time, honing your skills and just being in it for the right reasons.
I completely agree with you. Consistency, timing, talent, and opportunity. It's like the perfect storm, right? Yeah. I mean, like right now, I see all these roller skaters all of a sudden from summer in California. And I'm like, when did this happen? And then I look, and when I start listening to the music that they're playing on these viral videos, it's disco. And now I start seeing all these people passing on tracks that are disco related, very, very like disco influenced, right? In a new way. So I'm seeing this trend move forward, whether it'll go through fall or winter. I have no idea because, you know, California, you can skate all year. So it could possibly, you never know.
Exactly. I definitely believe in that concept. And I don't know a lot of actors that haven't been it for 7 to 10 years. I know quite a few actors that those are the magic years for them. Between 7 and 10 years, it was like, bang, you know. What's that saying about doing something for 10,000 hours?
Oh, right. That's another one. That's so true.
It's kind of the same thing. And it kind of almost, I did the hours once on that, and it's kind of similar in hours. Enough time, constructive. And by the way, the viewers should understand, it's not just blind time. It's constructive time with a purpose, meaning you're reading, you're learning what is helpful, what's not. You're learning from your mistakes. You're not repeating them over and over again. And you stay on it. You just hone your skills, you get better, and you get better, and you get better, and then the stars align, and you're ready. Your opportunity meets your ability, right?
Yeah.
You're ready for what hits you. Sometimes the opportunity comes, and you're not ready. And I've been in that situation, too, where, you know, I meet someone amazing, and I play the music for them, and I know it's just not quite there yet. Or maybe it was a demo was too raw, and I shouldn't even have played that for them yet, but I was ahead of myself. Like, you learn all these little things along the way. And when it all lines up, if you put the time in and you don't give up before the next guy, you know, you got a good chance. You just got to believe in yourself.
That's a great, great thing to say. I think you really inspired a lot of people there today, John. Thank you so much for being here with me. This has been fun. Why don't you introduce your song so we can get playing Too Much for Me by John Lewis?
Oh, I will. He's in the other room playing Fortnite right now, streaming. But his name is Elias Lewis, and he's a E15 Alpha Squirrel. Is his YouTube channel. He's awesome. He's a little stud. Anyway, it's a pleasure meeting all of you, and thank you for checking out the music, and I appreciate it, and thank you so much, Jacqueline, for everything.
You're awesome. Welcome, John. Thank you so much for being here. This was really fun. This is a great conversation. Really was.
All right, y'all. Take care.
Yeah. restless.